Breaking Down Training Camp 2019 Road to Redemption. Presented by VehicleCreditRepair.com. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tom Nealon and D-Mac with the top six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because if anybody follows Rex Chapman, who's becoming legendary on Twitter with his blocker charge.
Hilarious.
Have you seen the Buffalo upend the woman today?
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope she's okay, but I mean, it's comical. It's like, do you follow Rex Chapman, blocker charge on, you gotta follow. It's
the basketball player
from
Kentucky?
Yeah, but he's made a kind of this little cottage industry with this blocker charge thing with videos.
He just posts videos of people getting wrecked.
And he just calls it blocker charge.
In basketball?
No, just in general. Life. Usually it's non-sports related.
And you say in life?
Yeah, random
just
things.
Anything. Anyways.
He's basically playing up on the fact that it's funny to watch people get hurt.
It's a buffalo throwing a woman like 30 feet. It's not really funny. I hope she's okay, but it's just like... All right, story number one. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. No distractions. Rockies are down 2-0 right now to the Nationals. Tommy, there's rumors about Charlie Blackmon. Charlie Blackmon possibly being traded. Are you for being traded or not?
They 5 games out of the wild card. They don't appear to be going anywhere when you look at their pitching. There's not a lot of parts that seem desirable for other major league teams to take off our hands. So you're going to have to, if something were to happen, it'd be one that hurts. Not Arenado or Story, but Charlie Blackmon is that other guy. He's becoming sort of a liability in the field. He's got a big outfield to cover. Again, we mentioned it earlier, DJ LeMahieu, how well he's playing with the Yankees probably helps the Rockies in trying to move Blackmon if that were the case. They're clearly not buyers at this point. I'd rather have them do something instead of... I'd rather have them be buyers or sellers and not... And as opposed to not doing anything at all. So, yes, I'm okay with it.
The sad truth is
what
best...
What are you scribbling there? Nothing?
Just whatever. The sad truth is that the best days of Charlie may not be completely behind him.
Are you Joe Buck? He was just in the All-Star game.
Well, maybe Joe Buck knew something. But his value in terms of getting worth for him, this is probably the best time. And
DJ being, hitting in the American League, it's got to help, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure. So I'd hate to say goodbye to Charlie, but to me, if you get a deal that makes sense, I would praise the Rockies for making that move. Ring it, Richie.
Trust the brain surgeon when they get back.
He is a brain surgeon.
The USA Today is piled on, much like many of the other national publications, saying that despite everything that's been accomplished in this offseason, 2019, the Broncos are predicted to finish 4-12, 2 games worse than the VJ-led team of last year. Are they looking at the same stuff?
No.
They know we were 6-10 last year with VJ.
I think you actually maybe unintentionally hit the nail on the head earlier when you pointed out if you're one writer and you're writing summaries for 32 teams, you're probably knocking that out over a period of time, not yesterday. You haven't been out at training camp. You're really writing this preview at the beginning of summer or sometime.
The preview mentions Philip Lindsay is injured.
Right. So I think a very common take before really digging into anything is Sanders is hurt, Lindsay is hurt, Flacco stinks. Fangio is a first-time head coach, as is Scangarello, 4-12, 5-11, whatever. It's kind of lazy analysis. So, but don't forget, most of these previews are written by one dude. One guy is doing previews for 32 teams. He's the USA Today's James Merrillat. So on a few of these, he's not going to probably put in the full amount of effort. And I think that's what you're seeing when analysis comes to the Broncos.
It's funny. The same guy doing the analysis mentions the Bears and saying that their defense isn't going to be good. As good. Not realistic to think that they're going to be equal to what they were last year, and you'd have to think, well, maybe that's because Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell and Bryce Callahan aren't there anymore.
Richie, you know what we really should do? We should get every single one of these articles, find them. We should keep a folder. Seriously.
Bulletin board?
We should have a bulletin board. We should have a fan. That's exactly what we should do.
Every week.
Right.
What's the ranks guy's name?
Adam Rank.
Yeah.
When the Broncos hit three wins, we call Adam Rank. When the Broncos hit five wins, we call USA Today.
If you and a little homework assignment for everybody, let's have our own fan bulletin board. Let's stick it up there.
You know, we had an old radio show. We had Keith Law predicted the Rockies would win 55 games one year. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? 55?
Everybody wins 60.
That's hard to do. And when they hit 56 wins, we had them on.
You know what? We should set that. Let's form a bulletin board. I'm not joking. Now, this would be work by you guys, not us. But let's actually have the bulletin board and reach out to every single.
Have to repurpose the Death by Inches?
No, we like
board.
The Death by Inches whiteboard. We keep that. Maybe the bulletin board goes in the background here, and then we reach out to every single person said, when the Broncos win five or when they win three, we would like to have you on the show. That sounds like a cool thing. Bulletin board, what do you think that's going to be up by?
End of the week.
End really?
The week. Well, that's Death by Inches. I thought you were going to say end of the day.
I deliver.
End of the day?
Yeah, jeez.
They got to go buy the bulletin board.
This one is going to be a
floating around here.
It's in Johnny's office. Right, it's going to be a bulletin
ring
board.
It, Richie. Von Miller wants to be Vic Fangio's greatest product.
You know, Coach Fangio, we got new leadership here. And he says, you know, don't make any, you know, proclamations. And I'm all for that. You know, I got a great coach here. One of the best coaches that I've ever had in my life. You know, we have had great leadership here, but he's an outside linebacker's guy. And he's coached a lot of great ones. I want to be his greatest product yet.
Over, under 18 sacks, Von Miller.
I go under.
Really?
I still think attention is being paid to him. Chubb's numbers will probably go up.
You don't think
Derek Wolfe's numbers
are
going to
slide towards Chubb a little bit this year?
It's still Vaughn. Vaughn's still Vaughn.
So under.
I think it's interesting. I want to go a different direction here. You know, he had Khalil Mack last year. The Bears gave up a ton to get him. There's definitely a rivalry between Khalil Mack, especially when he was with Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to make sure that Vic Fangio sees a better player than Khalil Mack in Von Miller. I think that's something that is kind of lighting a fire under him. You know, all the praise that Khalil Mack got last year and some of the ways that he affected the outcome of games for the Bears, Vaughn wants to be that guy. Vaughn wants to make sure that Vic Fangio knows that Vaughn's a better player than Khalil Mack.
Bring it, Richie.
A Warriors fan has admitted to basically photoshopping a ticket. He'd buy a...
Wow.
Just a standing room only ticket to the Warriors games, the
crazy
home games,
story.
And then basically make a fake ticket to get down prior to the games. He'd find out on StubHub or whatever, Ticketmaster,
which
courtside seats were still empty.
That's awesome.
And he would sit in those seats. Brilliant. Why would he?
Brilliant.
Is it brilliant for him to be, now he's moved on, he's in LA now, so it, potentially he could do the same thing with the Clippers or Lakers.
He was going by himself?
Going by himself.
Wow.
Why would he give himself up like this? Now that it may change the way that tickets are distributed, because they didn't read the barcode down by the courtside seats. He's basically outed himself, and he'll never be able to sit by courtside seats anymore because NBA teams are going to read this and go, let's check the barcodes on people sitting courtside.
Maybe.
Let's hassle the rich people.
But the story that he did do it is better than him doing it in the future. So even if he never is able to do it again, the fact that this guy actually got away with it, you don't want to keep that
29 times.
It's pretty amazing.
And he wanted to personally thank, because I think he used the same seat from the same person that only showed up to like four home games. He wanted to personally thank. He didn't name the courtside seat owner, but he wanted to just kind of give him a shout out.
Ring it, Richie. Incredible. In an article with Nikki Javala from The Athletic and fan contributor and also media analyzer expert, Nikki said, John said to Nikki that he felt Joe Flacco was solid. He said he's got 3 years left and last year was horrific.
Last 2 years.
Last 2 years, sorry, were
miserable.
Miserable. when you read that article on a scale of 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, where would you put John Elway's enthusiasm for his job if the Broncos have another losing season?
Oh, it's a 1. I mean, if the last 2 years were miserable and we're losing again with what I think is all in for 2019, basically this is his last great shot. And then you just hope and pray, praying that Drew Lock pans out in 2020. If we fail, 3 years in a row, John Elway's never gone through a span like this in his life.
A 1 meaning there's a possibility you think he might want to step down?
I think 3 years of being miserable, that'll make you rethink your entire, outside of getting Peyton Manning to come here, you're thinking,
why am I doing this?
I'm terrible at this job.
So you think... in a terrible season.
Three years in a row? Again, this isn't anything he's ever been through.
Mm.
If that were to happen, and he's all in for this year, he thinks he's found a guy that fits the system. He's hired a offensive coordinator that fits his old school ideology of how the offense should
run.
And
it still doesn't work?
And it still didn't work? I gave Chris Harris Jr. free money, and it still didn't work? What am I doing?
Wow. Okay.
I have a team option with Von Miller. Should I be the bad guy and trade him or release him?
Or should I just
step, aside?
Yeah.
Seriously, he's miserable after 2 years. Man, it would be crushing to him.
Okay. Ring it, Richie.
We talked earlier about Tom Brady and his daughter jumping off the cliff in Costa Rica. I never really felt like I got your opinion on it. Is Tom Brady a terrible parent? Is Tom Brady a great parent for...
Cliff by inches was almost death
having,
by cliff.
Having this experience...
It was almost real
with
death.
...with his daughter? Is Tom Brady a hero in your eyes?
It was almost just death.
I know Tom Brady's a hero in your eyes, but is he a hero in your eyes for basically saving his daughter's life?
I think he
who,
had...
at the last second, called a timeout.
I think he had the right fun parental intentions. I think he had a plan that would have made sense had she jumped with him. And then it spiraled into something kind of horrific. And in all honesty, a lot of parents who aren't very athletic or something, that might have gone much worse. I think to a certain degree, his athleticism and his quick thinking actually kind of saved the day. So I think it went in many different directions. Hey, this is kind of fun. Let's do it together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Kind of a probably a split second of horror that he could feel his daughter wasn't coming with him. And then pretty smartly, because they were going over one way or the other at that point, pretty smartly he grabbed her firmly so there was no chance that she would fall into the rocks. So at the end of the day, it was insane.
At the end of the wait.
Because he did not think the possibilities were that his daughter might have a moment like that. It was way too risky at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, once again... in your eyes, Tom Brady's a hero.
No.
I love Tom Brady.
No, at the end of the day, he made a really terrible mistake.
Richie knew exactly where it's going.
It's ridiculous. Do you disagree with me?
That Tom Brady is your all-time hero?
No,
no, I don't disagree with that. That's what you think.
This was not a plan.
No, she called at the last second. She decided not to go, but Tom was already going.
Yeah.
Or Tommy, what do you call him? Tommy?
What do you call yourself?
TB12?
I don't know. What do you Tommy's
What's
like
your
to
nickname?
Be, what do you like to
What's
be called?
What's your nickname for Tom Brady?
TN66. Bring it, Richie. Or is that me? That's me. What am I talking about? Bring it, T-Mac.
Death by inches. Yeah.
All right. We have Billy Joel tickets to give away for the best hot take. We have time...
Did we give them away?
Not yet. We don't give them away until after 6:30.
Oh.
Let's go to Janelle. Hi, Janelle. You're on the fan. What's going on?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Doing great. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, Coach Azani's daughter just came over and gave me a Broncos towel. So they live across the street.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
Cool. Kind of a fun little aside.
All right.
But, okay, this is it. This is the winner. All right. You ready for me?
Does it have to do with Coach Azani becoming the head coach?
Nope.
All right. Does it have something to do with your lawn looks better than Coach Azani's and it's bugging you?
Well, actually, my son usually takes care of his lawn.
All right. So he's too cheap. He's too cheap to hire a real lawn service, or too lazy to do it himself.
Hey, my son is doing a great job on all these lawns.
Yeah, I bet. All right, yeah. Hey. What's your take, Janelle?
Okay, Philip Lindsay has more all-purpose yards than any Bronco in Broncos history this season.
Bam! Wow.
Terrell Davis has the record at 2,225. And Darren Sproles has the NFL record at 2,696.
I don't know. Lindsay gets more than
that's 1,000 yards receiving, 1,000 plus yards
1,100.
Rushing.
Both.
Yeah.
Wow.
TV did it in 98. I think you can beat him. What do you think?
I think, good one, Janelle. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Tell Coach we said hi.
This offense would allow it.
I think he could get 1,200 yards rushing.
What do you have last year? 1049 somewhere, 1050, something like that.
So 1200 is reasonable.
You'd think that if he's a starter going into the season, he only started half the games last year. His carries picked up when he became the starter.
He would need another 1,000 yards in receiving.
I mean, 1300 yards or 1400 yards rushing is doable.
I don't know.
If you're going to be giving him less carries and more touches, then it's going to be harder.
I mean, how
many? Going to be less carries, but more yards.
Christian McCaffrey had 107. What were Christian McCaffrey's total yards, please?
I'll pull him up.
Yeah. Because Christian McCaffrey had 107 receptions last year, and Philip had 30, something like that.
35, I think he had receptions.
It was like a third of what Christian had.
I think he had 35.
Christian McCaffrey had 107 receptions for 867 yards and 6 touchdowns last year.
Okay, what was his rushing yards? So that's 867.
219 rushes for 1,098 yards and 7 touchdowns.
1,098.
What does he need? 2,225?
6, 9. I mean, that wasn't even 2,000. That wasn't even 2,000. It was 1,900 total yards. No.
It's a hot take.
It's a hot take. It's definitely a hot take. It would mean Philip Lindsay would have to have a bigger season than Christian McCaffrey. I think he should be used like Christian McCaffrey, but to expect Philip Lindsay to have, it's a hot take because that I can't believe TD had that kind of year. I mean, that's awesome.
Well, that was mostly rushing though.
It was.
And screens. This is a different, there's more options for Philip Lindsay in the passing game,
how many
than
passes
TD ever had?
How many passes do you think Philip Lindsay could get reasonably?
I mean,
twice as much.
What was his targets last year? I think he caught 35 passes. There were probably 50 something targets.
Yeah, I want to say it was 50 or 60. I'll get the exact number.
I'd guess.
So let's say there's 80 targets.
I guess 60 catches would be
60.
I think they didn't use him right last year, and he still caught 35 passes.
Let's say 70. Let's say 70 catches.
There was a game he wasn't even targeted in against Pittsburgh. He didn't have they didn't throw to him one time.
But 47 targets.
47 targets, 35 catches?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's double it to
here we go with
90
math again.
90 targets, 70 catches. But to get 1,000 yards with 70 catches.
Is it Juszczyk from the Niners last year? His numbers. I mean, he had big reception numbers. A fullback, but Philip could certainly be used in the same way.
The problem is on 70 catches.
Yeah, he's going to be running on fumes by week 16.
On 70 catches, he would have to to get 1,000 yards. He would have to average 14.2 yards per reception.
Yeah, that's.
Juszczyk had 30 receptions on 41 targets for 324 yards.
What's his average?
His average yards per reception was 10.8. Yards a game was 20.
Man, it's going to be hard for Philip to get those kind of numbers.
Nah. But we don't need him to have those kind
of
numbers.
And Royce Freeman is going to be taking some of the carries as well.
All right, one more. Let's go to Jay. Might be our last guy here. Jay, what's your hot take?
Okay, it's all going to be defense. The Broncos' defense is going to allow only like 23 points a game.
We're going to be 0-16.
Our offense is going to be just good enough to score 24, 25
on
a couple of pick sixes, strip sacks, and
and McMahon
yeah,
going to win.
Oh, my man. Okay, sorry.
Oh, wait, you didn't finish.
He was, you know.
That was late. That is a hoof to the testes there. You didn't let him finish his hot take? No. His hot take was that they were going to give up 20. What do you say?
He lost us at 23 a game. If our defense gives up 23, average 23 a game, we are 0-16.
Not two.
No.
Not three. Not four. Not five.
Our defense is going to give up 23.
If the defense is doing that poorly, none of this matters.
No.
Was Elway's step down? 0-16.
He'd have. 0-16, he'd have.
Did Matt Millen direct that 0-16 Lions team? What happened to him after?
He drafted.
Well, the Browns, they went 0-16. What happened
there? He drafted three receivers in consecutive drafts in the first round. You know, John would have to, he stepped out or be fired if they went. They're not going to go 0-16. That is like nuclear beyond belief. But the defense isn't going to allow 23 points a game. That's insane. That would be
unless they've, for the most part, been great, and then a team like Kansas City hangs 50 on them.
I'm not saying that can't happen, but, I mean, they're going to have games you would think that they only give up 10 to 13 points a game to kind of even things out. You know, the Niners beat up on the Broncos. The Jets beat up on the Broncos. I mean, it happens. But even the Niners game, they only scored
26
right,
points.
It was like 20-0 at halftime, and the game was more or less over. And then they stopped throwing the ball to George Kittle for some weird reason. He only needed like 5 yards to set like the NFL record or something. But, well, we appreciate all the calls and all the texts. Are there any other texts out there that we should mention before we kind of...
It's kind of recycling at this point. People are
there are many of Elway stepping down, Shanahan being a part of the team, a new left tackle. Lots of left tackle stuff.
Right, well, it's been a good run.
Garrett Bowles going to the Pro Bowl was pretty hot.
You saw improvement. He's getting coaching from a Hall of Famer.
I'm the only one. I mean, I heard stink this morning, then Cecil was on with us, and it doesn't. I might be the only one seeing that Garrett Bowles is getting better.
Yeah, but how many people are with
nobody's the hill? Nobody's on the hill.
Who's with the hill people? With the Nalen clan on the hill. With the hillside people. Hillside. We'll figure out who wins.
I like the hill people. I think that's better.
I feel like the hill people is like.
We all stand up and charge the team.
You should. You know,
all stand up with our wet butts.
It would be funny if you showed up in like Viking gear to the hill one day and just like, instead of a water bottle, you've got like a cask.
Somebody said they were going to get you a Lothar jersey as King of the Hill People.
It'd be funny. You just show up in like a toga. Not a toga. What is it? Like a fur?
A pelt.
Pelt. You show up in a pelt.
Like get one of Foxy's pelts.
They're on the wall. When we come back, the Dan Le Batard thing on Fangio's intro. It is interesting. I have a different view of Fangio. We differ on how we see him a little bit. But we'll get to it. It's fun. It'll come up next.
Breaking down training camp 2019 Road to Redemption. Presented by Flesh and Beck Law. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
So, I want to congratulate. Do we know the name of our winner for...
She didn't leave a name. I'm looking for it right now.
Okay. But we're going with the Vic Fangio's up in the press box for the winner for Hot Take Tuesday. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. The more I was calling him Uncle Vic, that doesn't make sense. He's not Uncle Vic. He really is like the Godfather. Just kind of says what he says. He doesn't mince words. He's experienced, he's older, slightly dumpy, and he looks at you like you're an idiot for saying anything. He really is the man in charge. He's the Godfather.
Slightly dumpy?
Slightly. Gray sweatshirt. Listen, he's talking to a lot of very dumpy people, you know, when he's talking to the media horde. So it's, you know. But he's a guy that's just as comfortable in his own elephant skin, and he's not somebody that's obsessed with, you know, getting on the Stairmaster for 90 minutes before practice. His head's in football. He's that old school football coach. Come on. Do the real old school football coaches, are they in great shape? The old school guys.
Who's an old school guy?
Vic Fangio.
Give me another one. Is Mike Shanahan? We're going back into the Back to the Future.
Dude, that is he is not old school football. Old school. Vince Lombardi.
They're the same age. Vince Lombardi?
Old school.
John Madden?
I don't know. John Madden.
They didn't have Stairmaster back then.
There
I bet he would have gone.
John Madden.
John Madden was a clown. Sure. That is not Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio is no nonsense. Tell it like it is. Doesn't want to be there talking to you yahoos.
Right.
Gives you the answers. Gives you reasoning behind it. Causes no controversy and gets the hell out of there.
He's the godfather.
I'm going to make him an offer.
He's the godfather. You better watch out.
I'm not getting whacked, and I'm not going to be at the toll booth like Sonny was. It's not going to happen. I respect the godfather.
Do you? You just call him?
Yes.
Just call him Dumpy.
He knows what he is. He was talking about the reason why... All of us who aren't in great shape wear sweatshirts for the same reason. If you ever see a heavy guy with a sweater vest, you understand what's going on. Please. Don't even...
Call him Dumpy.
Don't give me that look, Mr. Slender T-shirt wearing man. Dan Le Batard, who's, I think, Cuban, not Italian. By the way, Richie said this was not insulting because you are Italian. Is that correct, Richie?
Yeah, I allowed it.
Okay. If it's Lithuanian, we'll ask you, Tom. And if it's Irish, we'll ask me. That's why I said it was all right to dump on Lowry the other day, because he's an Irishman. Like me. Here's Dan Le Batard talking about Fangio. Everybody is the whole...
I thought you were Scottish.
What's that?
I thought you were Scottish.
Shh. Here's Dan Le Batard.
Real G's move in silence, and Vic bleeping Fangio is a G.
But you need to hear him talk, don't you? You need to.
There needs to be a certain cadence. He doesn't actually talk. He merely only walks the walk. His media availability is no talking. It's just him walking the walk.
That's what got Odell gone from Gettleman, man.
People subscribe to this. People subscribe to it. You need to change the culture. No music. What? Music is what stands in the way of a Super Bowl, you idiot. Vic Fangio knows because he spent a lifetime in football without this opportunity.
And without the music in his life.
It's a red flag, kind of.
I love the guy telling his team, hey, you see that guy over there? You think he's your quarterback, but he's not a quarterback yet. I'll let you know when he becomes your quarterback.
I think he's doing it all over the league. I think he goes to Elway and says, look, I know you're saying Flacco's in his prime and Flacco's a premier starter, Flacco. Even though all the numbers suggest that Flacco is done. And furthermore, as an added bonus, the Baltimore Ravens picked a quarterback who didn't complete a pass in a playoff game for 2 hours over Joe Flacco. A quarterback who can't throw. And I'm pretty sure that John Elway is saying that publicly, and Vic Fangio is going into his office
bleeping
and saying,
Fangio.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's going in there and saying, I'll tell you when Joe Flacco's in his prime.
Right. Who are you, Elway?
Yeah, and also, do something about the fullback position, you moron.
It felt like it was a colossal dump on the Denver Broncos and Vic Fangio.
It was getting there.
And Flacco, too.
Flacco, don't know how to say his name.
Flacco's interesting.
Broncos could surprise. We got to get that built, that
bulletin board.
Bulletin board, yeah. And we got plenty of bulletin board material from around the country at this point.
Were they just banging on the Broncos the whole time and Elway? And where'd the fullback comment? What does that mean?
That one kind of came out at the end out of nowhere. It was just like
just threw a random position
hook.
Group in there.
You know what? We're all going to have a nice little laugh.
Because us and Flacco.
Us and Flacco and Fangio and all of us. We're going to have a nice little laugh. It's going to be fun.
Are you laughing at 8-8? Are you going to have a good laugh?
How did we get there? If we're 8-6 and we go 8-8.
Man, that kind of pissed me off, to be honest. I hadn't heard that yet.
Yeah.
That's some serious down talking.
I'm telling you, that's the national perception. That's how the world, the country, that's what they think of Fangio, Elway, the Broncos, Flacco. That's what they think. They don't know what we know. It's It's us against the world this year, for sure. Like it's never been, which is funny because I've not seen a national dumping on the Broncos. The Broncos are one of the most prestige franchises in the NFL. I mean, can you imagine somebody dumping on the Patriots or Steelers or Cowboys like that? Even if they're down, even if they miss the playoffs, that is talk like you hear for the Bills or the Jaguars or, you know, the Chargers or something.
Well, they've kind of earned it with the last 2 years.
When Manning was here, they beat the Dallas Cowboys in a fan vote to be America's team. The Broncos did.
The Broncos are a five-star, three-star Michelin grade franchise.
But look at their national TV. They have the one mandated one on Thursday Night Football and the second Monday Night Football game to start the season, which is basically your third primetime game that week. The national perspective of the Broncos is not what it used to be from 2 years ago.
If I heard that comment last year, because I knew how bad they were going to be, I would have agreed with it. I'd have been like, yep, you're about right. It's a mess. We got Pac-Man Jones here for some reason. We picked up a linebacker from Tennessee who hasn't played football in 3 years. We got a psycho as our punter who threatened to beat me up. We got a coach.
Case Keesum.
We couldn't even pronounce our quarterback's name that we got in free agency.
Introducing him. $36 million, Keenum.
Whatever.
I learned what it is to be a franchise quarterback.
You know what? No, but not this year. No.
That really pissed me off, man. That pisses me off more than 2-14. That was, it sounded personal. Like, they don't like the Broncos for some reason. John Elway, I don't know if there's some history there. And Vic Fangio.
It's like we're a joke. All right. Okay.
You're getting fired up a little bit.
A little bit.
Had you heard that? I hadn't heard it yet.
Not the whole thing, no. Just the first 10 seconds. Just keep it in mind, Richie. Bulletin board. End of the week? How about tomorrow?
I'll go to the store as soon as I leave.
All right. I'll reimburse you.
I did get a name of the Billy Joel winner.
Whose dreams do we make come true?
Andy Anderson from Denver is the winner of the Billy Joel ticket.
Nice. Huge Billy Joel fan, by the way.
Was Mark Markelson not available? But no. Good. Andy Anderson.
Not his legal name.
Congratulations.
Andy Anderson.
When we come back with a firm chip on our shoulders.
Congrats, Andy, for getting free tickets where DMAC had to pay.
Wow.
Bam!
What are you doing?
Just throwing it out there.
What the hell are you doing? I mean, what's going on?
Everybody that was here tonight gets a game ball.
All right. Cecil's next.
Breaking down training camp 2019, Road to Redemption, presented by VehicleCreditRepair.com. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac. That's what I'm talking about.
I can listen to a little Boston today. Gorgeous sunshine. Roll the windows down.
You can't be talking about Boston weather.
No, I'm talking about the band Boston in Denver.
All right.
Love that song. Hot Take Tuesday. We'll get Cecil on here in a second. Dave, what's your hot take?
Well, first of all, I wanted to tell Tom that he was absolutely one of my favorite Broncos. And if you were walking through our tailgate, we would have invited you in for a beer. So. Starting with that.
He would have one.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't have made
That's
it
why he was
game.
One of our favorite Broncos.
Did you go to the game? I probably wouldn't have made it.
Yeah. Hey, my hot take is that the Broncos under Mike Munchak, actually go to the merit system, and Elijah Wilkinson beats out Garrett Bowles.
That's a good one.
Merit.
That's a good one.
And he becomes one of our absolute most valuable offensive players.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Dave. The only problem, we sort of went around that
popular
one.
Popular on the text line.
I see where you're coming from. It's just that I don't think Elijah's going to have the opportunities against the ones, whereas Barclay is actually getting opportunities against the ones.
That's true. I mean, but they can start, if he's doing that well, they'll start working him in, splitting reps with GB, if that were the case.
Yes.
And we'll know this.
Yes.
It could start tomorrow. After that 5 days,
Dude,
the coaches have been able to digest what's happened.
Yep.
And can, I don't think that, I think Garrett Bowles is actually practicing well. That's right. Garrett Bowles is actually practicing well right now.
We go to Cecil Lammy on the Jägermeister hotline. Cecil, is there a competition at all between Garrett Bowles and Elijah Wilkinson?
Yeah, I think so. I think there is. Now, not on the surface, because Garrett Bowles should be that starter, but you have to think, and I think the question remains, will he start all 16 games? I'm pretty sure he'll open the season as the starter, unless he's just awful in the preseason, and I don't really see that happening based on the first few days of training camp that we've seen. Now, when the pads were off and he was going through his movement drills, I thought that Garrett Bowles looked better. The pads came on, he started to get a little grabby at times, but again, when we're watching one-on-ones or team drills, you know, part of the back of your brain has to be like, hey, he's going up against Bradley Chubb. I mean, he's getting worked by one of the best in the league. Hey, we don't talk about Juwan James, right? Juwan James getting worked over by Von Miller in one-on-ones, but that's Von Miller, right? So no one's saying, Juwan James, who are we going to replace him with? And I also think it has to do with Elijah Wilkinson being such a good player. I mean, this guy is a starter on another team. He's just not a starter here right now, and I think whatever happens with Garrett Bowles, they wanted to replace him last year. They couldn't because of injuries. I think this year, if it's kind of back to that same level of play, well, it depends on Ron Leary, because I don't think Don Barkley can play dead in a Western. And, you know, I don't think that was a good pickup by the Broncos. Wow. There's your hot take Tuesday, right?
Like, I just don't, well, D-Mac just hot take that Don Barkley was going to start the season at right guard.
He's getting a lot of time there.
If Ron Leary's hurt, then yeah, but Ron Leary's a better player. But Eli Wilkinson, the unfortunate thing, I mean, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. Like, he's not going to play left tackle if they need him at right guard because Ron Leary's hurt. And I know Barkley there, but, you know, he's had a long history of giving up lots of sacks. So I wouldn't like that for the Broncos with a quarterback like Joe Flacco who needs that protection because even though we've seen him take off and run a few times, I don't like that, by the way. You know, we know he's not the most mobile guy.
Cecil, what was the biggest takeaway from the first week?
No offense, not as good as they need him to be. You know, if we go back and we look at all the 5 days, who has been the best tight end? Well, one day it's Troy Fumagalli. You know, Austin Fort might be the most consistent out of all the tight ends. I think Troy Fumagalli's put on the biggest show. But it's never been Noah Fant. And whether it's the lack of conditioning, you know, which I guess I understand, but you're a rookie first round pick, you should be, you know, as well conditioned as you possibly can be coming into training camp. Not everybody is, but again, first round pick, this guy should be the leader, the clear cut leader. And yet we're talking about, man, can Fumagalli stay healthy? I think Jake Butt, you know, that kind of ship has sailed, if you will, unfortunately, because we love the talent that Jake Butt has. Jeff Heimer's just a blocker, but man, Noah Fant, you know, cut down on the drop, stop getting called out by your teammates for lack of effort in terms of finishing. And as I put in my article at 104throughthefan.com about Noah Fant, in order to start, he's got to finish. And right now he's not finishing on certain drills, getting called out by his teammates, and they just need him to be better because we've seen young tight ends come into this league. I remember when Julius Thomas was there and he came in without an offseason, no OTAs, no minicamp because of the lockout. And in 4 days, everyone was like, holy cow. Remember that, D-Mac, we were talking about? Like, holy cow, this Julius, you know, this basketball guy, he's making plays. It's 4 days.
Yeah, but then he got hurt.
Right, right. And then it took 2 years for him to actually see the field. But in 5 days, we haven't seen Noah Fant make a play like Julius Thomas was. And that's kind of what we all were expecting. So and that doesn't mean he's a bust or a bum or anything. It just means kind of a disappointing start for the rookie.
Is it strictly his conditioning, or is he just not able to pick up the NFL game at this point?
Well, and here's the thing, and you know this, Tommy, like the language is complicated. I don't think the offense is complicated at all. If I'm wrong, please correct me, Tommy, because you're obviously well-versed in this system. Hell, they're running the same system.
They are.
But it's like
identical.
The verbiage, you know, the language is very complicated. Maybe that's causing a disconnect. We know when you get in the red zone, no fan can make plays. But I already knew that coming in. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain level of expectation we had for Noah Fant. I knew he was going to be good in the red zone. And he is, but they need him to be better than just, hey, get close to Pater and this guy can box out everybody. You know, so we're not playing pickup hoops at the Y.
What do you think of Khalifani Muhammad?
He could push Devontae Booker off the roster. I'm writing for that, writing that right now at 104.3thefan.com. It's not just because I'm anti-Booker because he was supposed to be the guy that replaced CJ. How'd that work out?
by the way. So Booker is the guy where he's a really good receiver and he's good in pass protection. Kalfani Muhammad is a much better runner than Devontae Booker. I don't think he's as good of a receiver, but he is a good receiving option. And I love that he's inside out. Like, I like Devontae Jackson too, but every time he gets a handoff, he's taken to the corner store. You can't do that. Kalfani Muhammad at 175 pounds knows that you have to take it inside the tackles, then bounce it out at the second level. And he does that very good as a runner. Plus he's a solid receiver. If Kalfani Muhammad can impress, you know, as a pass blocker, which is difficult at 175 pounds, then maybe, just maybe, they push Booker off the roster.
We'll look for that at 1043thefan.com. Thank you, Cecil Amy, on the Jägermeister Hotline. All right, thank you to Cecil as we wrap things up. Tommy, Richie, Parker, right on. The Drives analysis of Training Camp 2019 Road to Redemption is presented by VehicleCreditRepair.com. The War Room was earlier today, and we will present a special encore presentation of the Fan War Room coming up next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.